Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Here we go. Then Jesus called the crowds to him along with his disciples and said, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Somebody say, I'm not just a fan, I'm a follower in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the presence of God. Two defining statements that Jesus has made on discipleship. And when you see that word follower, we are all supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. It's not just enough to believe in Jesus, but it is a disciplined believer, a disciple, a follower of Jesus that much like the 12 that we call disciples in the New Testament, that their lives were forever changed. Some of them quit their jobs, walked away from all kinds of things to follow this man Jesus. And can I remind you that they followed Jesus before the cross? Jesus now asks us to follow him after the cross. All the heavy lifting has been done. All of the sin has been paid for, and we stand redeemed if you've said yes to Jesus Christ. He has made a way where there was no way to get to the Father. We now can get to the Father through Jesus Christ, but the only ones that can get there are disciples or followers of Jesus. But Jesus gave these two defining statements on discipleship in John 13, 35. He said, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. How we love one another, not just how we love at church, but how we love out in this world. Then the second thing he said is in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. One translation says you will do what I say. How do I know? How do you know? If you are a follower and not a fan, if you are truly a disciplined believer that allows Jesus to alter their life in such a way that it changes every part about them, easy. Do you do what the Word of God says? Not the word, not the woke word, not reading the word and making it what you think it should say or manipulating it to fit your lifestyle, but do we literally follow the word of God as he wrote it and spoke it and said it? Because I believe if you follow the word of God, you are a follower of Christ. However, if you follow the word of God, it will transform your life. Last session, we talked Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. We'll get back to this in just a moment. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. In everything we do, it says, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love. There that word is again. Following the example of Christ, their obedience is. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, as a pleasing aroma to God. And where we left off last session is our main title scripture, Mark chapter 8, when Jesus called the crowds to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. We talked about the three things that followers do. Followers deny themselves. Remember this, to say yes to Jesus, you have to say no to yourself. To say yes to his plan, you have to say no to your plan. To say yes to his way, you're going to have to say no to your way. Pastor Mandy quoted yesterday in our house that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. And that is a powerful scripture. But if you understand that, it makes a life of discipline and discipleship a little easier, because what it means is this, church, you don't have to always understand what God is doing. You just know that if he's doing it on the account of you and I, it is going to be a blessing and it is going to lead us into greater. So followers deny themselves. Yes to Jesus, no to self. Followers carry their cross. I don't know what your cross looks like. I don't know how heavy your cross is, but I do know this. Nobody can carry your cross but you. Check this out. The four friends of the paralytic man that they lowered through the, they ripped off the roof and lowered to Jesus, they weren't carrying the cross of this man. They were carrying the man. Because he's still paralyzed, even though he has the help of his friends, he is still carrying the cross of his paralyzed condition. You might have, and I hope that you are blessed with faith-filled men and faith-filled women surrounding you and encouraging you. But remember this, tomorrow when your alarm goes off, there is nobody that can carry your cross but you. Verse 35, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. He is speaking not only figuratively, but literally in some cases. But most of us, it would be figuratively that if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But for those that lose their life for the gospel's sake, will save it. Where we ended last session, followers sacrifice. Sacrifice is a hard word. It's a difficult word. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is when David was attempting to locate land to build a temple. And someone said, well, here's some land and I'll give it to you for free. David said, no, I would never give something to God that did not cost me something. I would never offer something to God that wasn't a sacrifice. Why? Because I'm not giving God the leftovers. I'm not giving God what's easy. I'm giving God the best part of me. I'm giving God the most valuable part of me. That's why I'm so blessed when I hear testimonies of our children's ministry, young people getting saved. That's why it blesses me when I see teenagers and college kids giving their heart to Jesus. Why? Because not only is it an exciting moment in their life, not only does it secure their eternal future in Jesus Christ, but what they're saying is, God, the best part of my life, I'm giving it to you. I'm not going to wait till I'm 70. I'm not going to wait till my deathbed, but at 16, at 26, with my life in front of me, I lay that life down so your life can reside in me. Sacrificing is not always easy, but remember, church, sacrificing and sacrificial giving as a follower of Jesus Christ is always worth it. No one wants to sacrifice their lives. The reason I know this is no one wants to sacrifice on any level. You know, it's hard to find people who will volunteer their time at church. Every once in a while, or maybe a lot more frequent than every once in a while, you'll see a camera that is unmanned or unwomaned. There's nobody running that camera. It's not because we told somebody to have a day off. It's not because we had so many people and we just said whoever. It's because there's somebody that could have said yes that said no. And we've heard every excuse in the world as to why they can't serve in the local church. Well, I want to sit with my wife and my children, and I want to worship with them. This isn't elementary school. You don't have to sit next to your BFF. You spend all week with them. You don't have to serve every Sunday or Wednesday. What we're just saying is, hey, once, twice a month, sacrifice what you would like to do for the greater good of kingdom and say, Jesus, if me running this camera, if me running media, if me watching kids is going to create an environment for somebody that believes in you but doesn't follow you, if it creates a discipleship environment, I am all in. Mario and Lauren are in a tough position, y'all. And I told them this last week. I said, y'all are in a tough spot here at Living Way because this is your job. And I said, me and Mandy, we sit in our offices and we think of these grand events. Hey, let's invite 1,500 strangers to hunt Easter eggs. Then we tell Lauren and Mario our grand idea. And then we say, we know you're working here, but we need you to find 100 volunteers to pull this off because you can't do it on your own. Just for people to say, that's your job. I don't get paid to do that. That's been said in the last 2 weeks. When I hear those types of things, and they do tattle on you, name, social security number, and everything. I said, what about so-and-so? I didn't see them today. Oh, Pastor, they said they didn't get paid to do it, so they weren't going to do that job. And I see a person that doesn't want to sacrifice. They only want to follow if Jesus happens to be going in the direction they're already walking. It's not following Jesus. It is not following God's will until you say, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't like the way that smells. I don't like the way that tastes. I don't like the way that looks. I don't like how much time that it's going to take out of my weekend. I don't like, and all of these things, but God is not saying, if you feel good about it, follow me. If everything falls into place, follow me. If life is perfect, follow me. He said, I know you got all kinds of things going on in your life, but if you follow me, I will take you to eternity. I will take you to better. I will take you to wealthy. I will take you to healthy, but only if you want to follow me. But remember, the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot follow two things at one time. You are either following Jesus all in, or you are all into the world. But as for me and Living Way, we are going to be all in people. I know I'm not paid to do it, but that's why it's a sacrifice. I know I didn't get an attaboy in accolades, but that's not why I do it. I do it because Jesus has called me to this house. Jesus has called me to this life. And if he asks me to follow him, it doesn't matter where. There he goes. I will follow. No strings attached. Jesus, where you go, I go. I will sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. Verse 36, let's go further. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What good does it do to have the whole world dumped in your lap, but at the end of your life, you forfeit the one meaningful thing in your life, which is a relationship with Jesus that gives you eternal life? I am not here to tell you not to have fun. I am not here to tell you don't go to lake and don't go to Disney World. But what I am here to tell you is prioritizing your life and making sure that Jesus is number one. And can I encourage you with this? Something that I had to learn and God had to teach me, that Jesus is number one, but Jesus and church are not the same thing. Jesus is one, my family is two, and the ministry and church is three. However, you running little Timmy and little Susan all over the state for volleyball, basketball, and track, that is not what it means to put family before church. What it means is I'm not going to sacrifice my family in the name of ministry and in the name of serving. I'm going to put Jesus first, and I'm going to follow him. I'm going to make sure that my family is following, and then I'm going to commit my life to a local church. I'm going to use my talents. I'm going to use my skill. I'm going to use my gifting. I'm going to use my anointing to make sure all of San Antonio knows there's a way that is better than the way you're going. There's a life that is better than the life you're living, and it starts with Jesus. There he is. I'm following him. Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said it like that, right? Follow me as I follow Christ, meaning this: if I ever quit following Christ, quit following me. Every couple of years, one of these great podcasting preachers, one of these great prima donna preachers, we find out that they have an extramarital affair, or they were embezzling money, or they were doing something crazy. And every time that happens, I read on social media, well-meaning but misguided church people saying, well, I'll never go to church again. Well, I'll never give again. Well, I'm never going. What they're really saying is I was following him or I was following her. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter if 1,000 fall at my left side. Doesn't matter if 100 fall on my right side. I want everybody to make it to heaven. But whether they make it or not, as for me and my house, I am following Jesus with everything that is within me. Followers are soul conscious. When you're making a decision, is this going to make me a better disciple or a lesser disciple? Is this going to strengthen my faith in Christ, Or is this going to demolish my faith in Christ? Is this going to lead me to a better relationship with my spouse? Or is this going to hinder everything? It's not all about our physical needs, but God, am I going to be a better representative of you in all that I do? I am soul conscious. There's a lot of things I love to do, but Wednesday nights, Jesus gets them. There's a lot of places I want to go, but Sunday, Jesus gets them. And then multiple times throughout the week, I'm pressing pause on everything else. I'm talking to God, worshiping God, praying to God. I'm doing all of these things. Why? Because I'm in relationship and I'm a follower of Jesus. Soul conscious. Soul conscious. I don't want the world. I want the kingdom. I don't want to advance my agenda. I want to advance kingdom initiatives. I want to put Jesus out front. I want to make sure that Jesus be lifted up. If Living Way is lifted, nothing happens. If Brandon is lifted, nothing happens. But the Bible says, if I be lifted Jesus up, I will draw all men unto me. Followers are soul conscious. Verse 37, or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? You realize that people every day are trading their soul, their eternal soul, for money, for sex, for substances, for pornographic websites. They're trading their eternal salvation. You know what's better than a Wednesday night at Living Way? Eternity with Jesus. We talk about the gates of pearl and the streets of gold, Sister Chris. But you know what the greatest part of heaven is? Jesus. It's no longer 90 minutes on a Wednesday night. It's every moment for the rest of our life. And we are not going to be bogged down with the craziness of this world. We will never have to see another political ad in our life. We will never cry a tear. You will never hear about war. But in heaven, the presence of Jesus, and people are trading and exchanging something for the now. And they're trading eternity with Jesus. If that's you, I want you to change that today. Verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Wow, it's like Jesus knew what 2023 was going to be like. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, and when he's talking about adulterous and sinful, he's not actually talking just about the act of adultery. What he's talking about is those that say they are followers of Jesus and they're cheating on him. They're holding hands with him on Sunday and they act like they don't know him on Monday. He said, this generation is cheating on me. This generation is sinful. The only way that you would be crazy enough to cheat on Jesus is if you've got sin in your life. Messes up your mind, messes up your spirit. He said, this sinful and adulterous generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his Father's glory with the holy angels. He said, the same energy you represent me to the world is the same energy I'm going to represent you to my Father. You keep your mouth shut now, I keep my mouth shut then. You turn your back on me now, I'll turn my back on you then. If you want to act like you don't know me now, I'm going to act like, you say, prove that in the Bible. Jesus said that many of you will come saying, Master, we've done all of these great things. We've spoken tongues. We've cast out devils. We've done all of these things. Only for Jesus to say, he said, I never knew you. Depart from me. This is a strong and hard word, but I am to the place where the world needs to hear it. But before the world needs to hear it, the church needs to hear it, because we've gotten comfortable on padded pews. We've gotten comfortable with three songs and a sermon, but we need some people that say, Pastor Brandon, when I leave out of this place, I am a follower of Jesus at all times. If you're on Facebook,
I don't know what's your name on Facebook, Sister Chris. Is it Christina Rodriguez? Christina Rodriguez, right? Maria Christina Rodriguez. Follow her. Send her a friend request tonight. When you see her, you're going to get two things. What she ate for lunch. Praise God. And every day, she's going to be like, I was downtown, and we welcomed two new members into the family. And she'll give you their name. I think yesterday, it was a Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union employee. Aurora, was it on the phone or in person? Man, she had no clue that after that 30-minute wait, because Randolph be tripping, y'all. After that 30-minute wait, she didn't know she was about to get a dog. All she did was gave Sister Chris 30 minutes of anointed time to pray and to get ready. Because when Aurora got on that line, there's a person that said, hey, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Let's handle some business here, but then let's handle the Father's business. And I know Sister Chris, Aurora, do you know Jesus? Well, if you don't know Jesus, I want to introduce you to Jesus. He's going to change your life. You say, that's a little out there. No, it's not. That's exactly what all of us should be doing. Preaching Jesus, teaching Jesus, declaring Jesus. Everywhere we go, there's problems. And the only answer is Jesus. He said, if you're ashamed, he said, the same energy you dole out, that's the same energy I'm going to meet you with. So followers are unashamed. You say, Pastor, I'm shy. I realize that there's some shy people. I don't really know what that word means. But some are shy, some are timid, some are quiet. Some of you are introverted, and that's all right, because I'm extroverted for all of us. However, I know it's hard on a phone to switch from mortgage talk and loan talk to Jesus talk. I know that's tough. I know it's tough at a restaurant to talk to the wait staff about Jesus after you had to send your food back twice. I know that's tough. If it's tough, here's the first thing you need to do. Smile. Here's the second thing you need to do. Treat people with some respect and some love. Hey, how's your day going? If they meet it with negativity, just say something positive. Because one of my pet peeves is when I say, hey, how's your day going? And at first, I'm just making small talk. And they're like, man, I just can't wait for my shift to get over. Then you know what I hit them with? With a smile on my face. But isn't it good to have a job? Man, I'm just praying that God just blesses the rest of your day. If God leads you to tip a little more, tip a little more. But here's the thing. Smile. Give them some respect. Here's another thing. Wear some Christian apparel. Wear I Am Unashamed shirt. Where I love my church. Wear something. But and this is how I know people are scared to talk about Jesus. When I wear my I Love My Church shirt, and it's usually like the older folks, they'll say, sir, I love your shirt. I wear that one that says Jesus is hope. And they're like, sir, yes, he is. I love your shirt. You know what I do? Yes, ma'am, I love my church. Let me tell you, Jesus is the only hope. And then they're like, I'm unashamed. Listen, if they can get on the 50-yard line of the Super Bowl and dress half naked, dance half naked, if at the Grammys they can have a 5-minute Satan worshiping concert, then they're going to get all of Jesus they can handle at HEB, at the Valero, at USAA. When I'm walking down the street, I will be quiet for no one. I will shut up for no one. I am not ashamed. Why? Because Jesus hung on the cross naked. He was beaten. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. All because of me and you, and we couldn't do it, so he said, I'll take your place. Somebody say, I'm unashamed. We're going to do one more week of this, but I got a couple minutes, but it says zeros. Tyler, if you'll come on, I'm going to leave you with something. Matthew chapter 26 is where we're going. However, we've talked mainly in this series about the difference between being a fan, just being a believer, and being a follower, a committed disciple of Jesus Christ. However, for the last 2 minutes tonight and next week, you know there is some differences between the followers of Jesus. Anybody know that Everybody that says they're a follower of Jesus isn't like you and isn't like me. There's some difference. But I know that there's some people that when they find out I go to church or I pastor a church, they just say like so nonchalantly, oh, yeah, I go to church too. And I'm thinking, you go to church. I am the church. You go to watch a service. I'm worshiping. I am connecting with Jehovah God in the middle of that room. We are not the same. I'm going to leave you with one scripture. We'll jump into it next week. Matthew chapter 26, verse 57 and 58. One of the most haunting scriptures in the New Testament. And if you, unless you've read the Bible and studied, you probably have glanced over this or moved past it. Verse 26 and chapter 26, verse 57. This is when Jesus has been arrested. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and elders had assembled. Verse 58, are you ready? But Peter followed him at a distance. Peter, the one who had preached the greatest sermon besides Jesus that has ever preached, the one who would walk on water, the one who would write two books in the New Testament, that Peter said, I'll follow you, Jesus, but not real close. I'll follow you at a distance. We'll jump into it next week. You know why he followed him at a distance? Because he wanted to see what happens. But he didn't want to be so close that he was guilty by association. There's a lot of us. I love you, Jesus. Sunday's good, Jesus. But on Monday, I need my distance. Otherwise, I'm going to be guilty by association. So what are we guilty of? Come on, you know us as Christians, now we're bigots. Now we're intolerant. Now we're the problem. Remember, we preach love. We preach power, healing, health, transformation, mind, body, soul, spirit. We are all about the abundant life through Jesus Christ. But they flipped the script on that, and now if you believe the Bible, you're crazy. If you believe the Bible, you have no love in your heart. I want to encourage you, don't just follow Jesus. Follow him closely. I want to follow Jesus so much that when they say Jesus, see Jesus, they're like, who's that guy always with him? Or when they say, see me, say, man, he's always with Jesus. I don't want to be known for anything else than for my love and my following of Jesus Christ. I don't know what they're going to put on my tombstone, but I don't want anything about business. I don't want anything about success. I don't want anything about my hobbies and what I love to do. There better be a verse. There better be something about Jesus. If somebody's listening and for sake in the future, on my tombstone should read the verse that said about David, and he served his generation. That's all that needs to be said.